From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. I hope that you'll be able to stay with us and listen as we once more let the Bible speak. Today we're turning to the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5, and words in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When Isaiah the prophet was commissioned by the Lord to his prophetic ministry, the Lord made him aware that he would have many messages of judgment to bring to the people. They had turned away from the Lord and from all that God intended for them. And here in Isaiah chapter 5, we find many woes are pronounced because of the sins of the people. For example, in verse 11, Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And in verse 22, in the same theme, Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. But the woe that we are considering today is this one in verse 20, Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. As we come to consider these words, let's first of all understand that there is a premise here in this text. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And the premise is this, that there is an unchangeable standard of good and evil. There is such a thing as that which is good, always has been and always will be. And there's such a thing as that which is evil. It always has been and always will be. If good and evil are only what you make them, what you determine that they are, what you say they are, then there can be no condemnation for calling one the other. We can't then say, Woe unto them that call evil good, and woe unto them that call good evil. If good can become evil and vice versa, if darkness can become light and light can become darkness, if sweet can become bitter and bitter can become sweet, then really words would have no meaning. But the premise in our text is that there is an unchangeable standard of good and evil. But what is this standard? Well, in Isaiah 5 and verse 24, the latter part, we find what that standard is. Here the Lord says, They have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. The law of the Lord, the word of the Holy One of Israel. In other words, what Isaiah is telling the people is that they have cast away God's word, God's law, God's truth. They have set it to the one side. The law of God is really the foundation and the fabric of all morals. Indeed, God's law is the expression of God's character. And God has put in His law the obligations of the creature, man, to his God. For example, we have the Ten Commandments, and in Commandments 1 to 4, we have man's obligation to God, and in Commandments 5 to 10, we have the obligation to our fellow man. So God's law is unchangeable, it's inflexible, it's infallible, it is the absolute standard setting forth what is good and what is evil. It declares that man's accountable to God in terms of that law. And this is something that we can't escape. As creatures who were made in the moral likeness of God, we are accountable to God, and we're accountable to God in terms of His law, His word. God has said, Keep my law in the perfection of its demands, and you'll live. Disobey my law in the perfection of its demands, and you'll die. This law will be the basis of God's judgment on that great judgment day. But if we set it aside, and we say we are no longer paying any heed to it, we are no longer interested in it, we are, in a sense, saying it's something that's to be despised, then we are going to end up in the situation that the nation of Israel ended up in. They were calling evil good and good evil. But God's law is the foundation of the whole moral universe. And so there is an absolute standard, the law of God. That's the premise that's in our text. But notice the practice that's described in our text, because vice is being changed to virtue. What the Lord calls darkness, there are those who are saying, it's not really darkness, it's light. What God's law says is a moral evil, it's vice. The people are saying, it's just the very opposite, it's a moral virtue. God calls departure from His law bitterness, but the people are saying, oh no, it's not bitterness, it's sweet. They were saying the very opposite. They have attempted to change God's infallible, inflexible moral standard. And this is the practice that they are engaged in. And this practice was prevailing in the nation. And the Lord is calling and pronouncing a woe upon such practice. When we think of all of the commandments that God has given to us, from the first commandment right through to the 10th commandment, the people were setting them all aside and going their own way and doing their own thing. They were doing that, they were practicing that, because they had disregarded the law of God. As verse 24 tells us, they had cast it away. They have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. It means that they had rejected it. They had despised the word of God. They were regarding God's word with indifference. And so the question has to come to your heart today. Have you rejected God's word? Have you cast it away? Have you despised it? Do you treat it with indifference and say, it's not important what the word of God says. I know what's right, and I'll determine what's wrong, and I will set the standard, and the word of God will not set any standard for me. That would be doing and practicing exactly the same as the people were doing here in Isaiah's day. And therefore, we need to give heed to this. They had this twofold practice of calling evil good and good evil. When man attempts to rule God out of the world that he created, then he's really saying that he's not fit to be the moral governor of this world. And when we despise God's word in any area, then we soon end up in the situation that we have described here in our text in verse 20. We're calling evil good and good evil. We're putting darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What we have to recognize is this, that this is God's world. It was made by Him. He is the great creator, the lawgiver, and the judge. And as we are creatures made in the moral likeness or image of God, then we're accountable to Him, and we're subject to Him. And if we discard God's word, if we set it all aside, then what follows? There will be nothing other than the darkness of human wisdom that will become the substitute. And in verse 21, we find another woe. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Because the wisdom of man is really folly. And yet there were a people here, and they were putting the wisdom of man over and above the wisdom of God. We have it in the New Testament scriptures. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he was reminding them that the world by its wisdom, so-called, knew not God. Human wisdom has no fixed reference point. It changes with the opinions of men. And as the opinions of men change, then so the reference point changes as well. Therefore, we must be on our guard against relying on the wisdom of man, human wisdom. If we do, then there is only one result. It will be impiety. And verse 19 of Isaiah 5 says that there were those who were hastening to set aside the counsel of the Holy One of Israel, and they didn't care. They had no concern at all as to what they were doing or any judgment that they might face. They counted all of this irrelevant and something to be treated with complete indifference. This was the practice that they were engaged in. But then we must remember that in Isaiah's day, while there was this indifference and irreverence and impiety, it didn't change the Word of God. It didn't in any way change the law of God, and it didn't mean that God was going to change his standard. Some people have the idea that God has set a standard, but really he's not all that interested in upholding that standard, and he could be persuaded to set it aside. But God's standard is unchangeable. God's standard is irreversible. And if we are going to engage in practice that is contrary to that standard, then God's judgment must inevitably come upon us. And that brings us to our third point today, because I want you to see the pronouncement that was made. And the pronouncement is summed up in this one word, woe. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. There's going to be great grief and sorrow and pain and misery for those who do just this very thing. They will have cause to cry, woe is me, trying to convince themselves that evil is good, trying to persuade themselves that darkness is light, that bitter is sweet. Well, they can carry on doing that. You can carry on doing that. And it's not going to make any difference, because evil will still be evil and good will still be good. But the reality is this, it will bring God's judgment, and God's judgment will come on those who are engaging in this kind of practice, calling evil good and good evil. God says that his judgment is going to fall, and God's character is like his law. It is unchangeable. Therefore, when God says that he will judge sin, he will judge sin. And for a people who persist in their sin and go in their own sinful way and keep engaging in sinful practice, then they will face the judgment of God. You will face God's judgment unless you repent of your sin, turn away from it, and seek the Lord's mercy and forgiveness. Now that's to be found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation from sin, but it's found in a person, and that person is the Saviour, the friend of sinners, God's eternal and only begotten Son, who came into this world, went to the cross, and died in our place. For those who come and believe on him, then they will know salvation from their sin, and they will no longer face the coming judgment, because God has already judged their sin in the person of his Son. And therefore those who trust in Jesus Christ, God will not payment twice demand. He will then have a place of refuge. May you come to the Saviour today and trust in him and be saved from your sins. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT536PE. That's Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT536PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we are on air here each Lord's Day, so do remember to join us at this same time as we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.